Go back to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11, and let's look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. First in Antioch. That word is in here three times in the Bible, three times, Christians. In 2003, I purchased a retail store. And it was part of a lesson studio. And I ran that store for 5 years before I realized everybody's buying on the internet. Let's shut it down. But a man came in, and I recognized him. I didn't know his name. I didn't know him that well, but he'd been in before. And he was shopping for a guitar. And he was sitting there trying out different guitars. I was trying to help him. And at that moment in time, my sister, Hannah, worked with me at the store. She helped me run the counter. And it was just the three of us in the room. And the guy, he was just sitting there real quietly, just strumming that guitar, listening to it. And he looked at us and he said, "Are y'all Christians?" He said, "Y'all look like good Christian people." And it caught me off guard. You know, people say things and you really don't know how to respond. You know, "Are y'all Christians?" Well, and what came out of my mouth was, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I asked him, "What do you believe a Christian is?" And we then had a pretty big conversation, which led him to not buy anything from me that day. He thought, "I'll just take my business elsewhere," you know. But I thought, if that's the definition, what I asked him was, "What do you believe a Christian is?" And here's what he said. He said, "Well, a Christian is a person who tries to live right, and he tries to do right by others," which meant, "Are you going to give me a deal?" "And he gives his heart to Jesus, and he quits his sinning." That's what he told me. Tries to live right, do right by others. He gives his heart to Jesus, and he quits his sinning. And I thought, if that is the definition of a Christian, then no, I'm not a Christian. Not in the way you're describing it. Now, I do have a desire to do right by others. I really do. I have a huge desire to be fair and honest. I really do. I do have a desire to live right. I want to pay my bills. I want to abide by the laws of the land. I really do. But I did not give my heart to Jesus. He reached in and he took it out and then he crushed it to powder. And then he put in a heart of flesh, one that loves God and one that loves his people. But he did it all. There was a change there, but he did it. And I have yet to quit sinning one day of my life. So far, I have yet to quit sinning one day of my life. My only hope is that Jesus Christ paid for all the sins that I am currently committing, the ones that I wish I did not have, but I just do, the ones that I really wish I did not commit, but I cannot help it, I just do. This world has changed the word Christian into something that I cannot identify with. I just cannot identify with it. But here is the message that I want to deliver to us tonight. This is what I hope the Lord will impress on us. The other Sunday night, we had a baptism here. And even though religion has ruined baptism, I mean ruined it, they've made it something it's not, focusing on the ceremony instead of the Christ, even though they've ruined it, we should never shy away from it or be ashamed of it, ever. It's an ordinance that God gave to us. And even though Catholicism has absolutely defiled the Lord's table, I mean, they've defiled it, we should never be ashamed of it, and we should never shy away what He has given to us. He gave it to us, the us. And even though this world has flat ruined the name Christian, I mean, they've ruined the name Christian, we should never be ashamed of it or shy away from it, because He has given His name to us. That's His name. Sorry. Choked up. That's His name. All right. Now, your last name is Moody, right? What should her last name be? Moody. Jeremiah 23 says, His name shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Well, what about her name? His bride. What should she be called? We're going to call her the Lord our righteousness. That's what Jeremiah 33 says. He has given us His name. Yes, I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. That sounds so strange in today's world, but I am a Christian. I'm a Christian. Now, what do I mean by that? What do I mean by that? What is a Christian, a true Christian? Well, Paul wrote a letter to some people who were from a city called Corinth. What were those people called? Corinthians. And then he wrote a letter to some people who were born in a city called Galatia. What were those people called? Galatians. And then he wrote a letter to some people who lived in a city called Ephesus. And they were called Ephesians. And the people in Philippi were called Philippians. And the people in Colossae were called Colossians. And the people in Thessalonica were called Thessalonians. They were called that. They were each individually called that because they were from, they were of, they were born in, they lived in the name that they were called by. Right? Why is he called an Ephesian? And why is he called a Thessalonian? It's because he was born in Ephesus. And he was born in Thessalonica. A true Christian is a person who comes from. It's a person who is of. It's a person who was born in and lives in Christ. That's a true Christian. Where are you going to find a Colossian? In Colossae. Where are you going to find a Christian? In Christ. In Christ. What is a Christian? It's a person who is born of the Spirit of God into Christ, and he lives and he moves and he has his being in Christ. May I remember that when somebody asks me next time, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. I live and I move and I have my being in Christ alone. Now, the title of this message is, What is a Christian? But the next question I have is, am I a Christian? That guy asked my sister and myself, are y'all Christians? Well, I want to know the answer to that. Am I a Christian? Am I in Christ? The text that I read for you just a minute ago describes a Christian. All right? It just perfectly describes a Christian. So all I want to do is read down through it and just acknowledge what it's saying. And hopefully we'll all be given some comfort that we are of Jesus Christ. All right, it starts, we ended last time we were in Acts at the end of verse 18. The end of verse 18 says, it's talking about some particular people. And it says they were granted repentance unto life. Life, birth, born, life. Every true Christian, it says they were granted repentance unto life. Repentance means a changed mind. Every true Christian has a new mind and a new heart on the things of God and salvation. The things of God and salvation. Every sinner on earth is self-centered. Okay, every person born into the world is a sinner. And every person is born self-centered. And his thoughts on God and his thoughts on salvation are self-centered. Won't I accept God? Won't I let God save me? They're self-centered. But a true Christian is Christ-centered. A true Christian is Christ-centered. And what I want to know is, has God changed my mind and my heart on these things? Does it all center on Christ? Here we are in worship, opening up the Word of God, and here I, by God's grace, speak. Is all the focus on Christ? Is it all centered on Christ? Is that me? That's what a true Christian is. Verse 19 says, Now they which were scattered abroad, true Christians are scattered abroad. They're scattered abroad. Isaiah wrote, Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. A remnant. Go with me over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, look at verse 31. Then saith Jesus unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Scattered abroad. They won't find fellowship in Christ with the mainstream of where they are. They just won't find it. They will not find it. They won't find the majority giving all the glory to Christ for all things. That fellowship, that precious fellowship, will be scattered abroad. Do you not find that to be true? That precious fellowship in Christ is scattered abroad. It's just the way it is for true Christians, scattered abroad. Go back with me over to Acts chapter 11, verse 19 says, Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution. True Christians are persecuted. They are a persecuted people. For what? What for? Verse 19 says, preaching the word. Look, it says, They which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, What was Stephen persecuted for? Preaching the word. Traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. True Christians preach God's word. That fellowship that you find scattered abroad from place to place, do you know what you expect to hear when you get there? God's word. God's word. They hold to God's word. Christ alone, scriptures alone. That's why we can go to Brother Tom Harding's and we know that man is going to open up the word of God and he's going to preach the word of God. And then we can go down to Orlando, Florida and know that man's going to open the word of God and he's going to preach the word of God. He's not going to grab one verse of scripture and then set that to the side and then give whatever he wants to say for the next 45 minutes. He is going to preach God's word. Christ alone and scriptures alone. Well, you know, I know that the word says this, but there's a guy who has written a really good book that says, nope. By God's grace, his true Christians preach and believe the word of God alone. All right, what are they preaching in God's word that is so offensive to people that they're persecuted for it? Verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. True Christians preach the Lord Jesus, with heavy emphasis on the word Lord, God, Jehovah. They preach the High King of Heaven. Call his name Emmanuel because God is with us. Call his name Jesus because he shall save his people. Those that are of him. Those that are born into him. Put in him. He shall save everyone from his sins. Every single one. They don't preach gentle Jesus, meek and mild. They preach, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the top of Mount Zion. A victorious lamb. And we don't sing this song, and we probably never will, but it says, victory in the Lord Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me, and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me before I ever knew him. And all my love is due him because he plunged me to victory beneath his cleansing flood. How could anybody be persecuted for preaching that? It's not like the man is standing up saying, now y'all listen to me. How could anybody be persecuted for preaching that? True Christians are. They just are. Verse 20 says, some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. True Christians believe God and turn to the Lord. They believe God and they turn to the Lord. Why? Why do they believe and why do they turn? Is it because they make better decisions than the rest of the world? Something special in them that others don't have, you know? Well, the reason is because the hand of the Lord is with them. That's the reason. What is God's hand doing? Drawing them unto himself. Causing them to believe and causing them to turn to Christ. We know this verse, but let's read it. Go to Proverbs 21. Man, I love this verse. What comfort is in this verse? Proverbs 21, verse 1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." What maketh me to differ? You know, we believe and we turn to the Lord. What maketh me to differ? The hand of the Lord does. "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned." The hand of the Lord. Go back over to Acts 11. Verse 22 says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God." True Christians have received God's grace. They have received God's grace and they know it. They know it. They are just beggars who have been given the free gift of Jesus Christ. And that's it. They know it. Saved by grace. Christ alone, Scriptures alone, grace alone. Grace alone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Did you earn it? No, not one bit. Did you deserve it? Nope, not one bit. Let me ask you this. Do you deserve it now? "Oh, I didn't deserve it then." All right, well, do you deserve it now? Nope, not one bit. It's amazing grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. Verse 23 says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord's." Unto the Lord. True Christians cleave to Jesus Christ with purpose of heart. You know that? I mean mental and heart purpose. Purpose of heart. I have one purpose in this life, and that is to cleave to Christ. That is my purpose, to cleave to Christ and to tell my family and to tell my loved ones and to tell everybody who will listen to cleave to Christ. Cleave to Christ. That's all I need. That is all I need. I don't need to get rich. I really don't. I don't need to become known. And I don't need to live this life to the fullest. I do not need to live this life to the fullest. What I need to do is cleave to Jesus Christ. That's as full as life can get, I'll tell you that. Verse 23 says, "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he," that's Barnabas, "was a good man." True Christians are good men and women. Oh, no, we're not. Not me. I'm vile and I'm wicked and I'm wretched and I'm sinful. No. God wrote it down right here in verse 24. He was a good man. Well, he may have been, but not me. I'll never be. You know what God said? "Don't you call unclean what I have made clean." That is amazing, isn't it? He said, Paul wrote, "You're washed. You are sanctified." John said, "Beloved, right now are we the sons of God. As he is, so are we. Is that not amazing? But I will tell you this, true Christians will say, I do believe God's word. I do. I believe that. I believe He washed me in the blood of Christ. I believe that I am sanctified and clean. And in God's eyes, in Christ, as long as I'm in Christ, I believe I'm holy. I really do. I do believe God's word on that. But if there's anything good in me, it's only Christ in me. That's it. It's only His Spirit in me. Verse 24 says that Barnabas was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. If there's any faith in here, it's the faith of Christ in here. That's it. Verse 24 says, and much people was added to the Lord. True Christians are added to the Lord. They are not those who have given themselves. They are those who are added to. Verse 25 says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. True Christians assemble themselves with the church. They have been given a heart to assemble themselves with God's church. They have been given a heart to identify themselves with God's gospel and God's people in spite of the persecution. They assemble. As for me and my house, by God's grace, we're going to serve the Lord. I believe that He's given us a heart for that. I truly was so glad to get here tonight. Today has been a crazy day. You have no idea. We walked in and told you a little bit. We didn't tell you the half of it. Today has been a crazy day. It didn't get crazy till we got home. And I've been tired. I told Hannah right before this, I need a cup of coffee, but that's going to keep me up all night. But God has helped me right now. And as soon as I got here, I was honestly so glad to say, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go worship God. I believe God has given us a heart for this, to assemble together with God's people. Verse 26 says, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. By God's grace, I want to be called a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want this to be a house of Christians, those that God loves and has given His name to. It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? All right, let's stand together.